The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, I'm Laura. I'm sure many of you dread getting stuck in an elevator. How about getting stuck in an elevator for 7 hours with your worst enemy? Sounds terrible, right? Unfortunately, that's what happened to me. My parents got divorced when I was very small. I'm more like my dad, so I can't say that my mom and I get along very well. We managed fine for a while. But things have gotten a lot worse recently. One day, my mom and I had a huge fight. When that happens, I usually go and stay with my dad. I packed a few things, shut the door, and left. We live in a 16-story building with two elevators, one big, one small. I called the elevator. The small one came. I wish it were the big one, I thought to myself, because I'm claustrophobic. If I stay in a narrow place for a while, my chest tightens and I can't breathe. If I stay even longer, I lose control and have a panic attack. But that day, I wanted to get away from my mom as quickly as possible, so I got into the small elevator. On the way down, it stopped on the 6th floor. I hope it's not Brittany, I thought, and then I saw that it was her. Brittany is the only enemy I have. Unfortunately, we live in the same building. She was on the phone and sounded upset. I'm home. Where else can I be? I'm about to get into the elevator. I'll lose connection. I'll call you back, she said. The elevator door closed. She noticed that she wasn't alone. She was about to say hi, but when she saw that it was me, she clearly wasn't happy. Oh, great, she said, and started randomly pressing the buttons. She wanted to get off before we reached the ground floor. Don't worry, I don't bite, I said. She coldly replied, you couldn't, even if you wanted to. When she said this, the elevator started shaking and then stopped, as if hanging in midair. Brittany waited for the door to open so she could go out. When it didn't, she pressed the open button. Nothing happened. So she started randomly pressing buttons again. I couldn't help myself and said, will you stop doing that? That's what got us stuck in the first place. She met my eyes for the first time. Because of me? I think you should stop blaming others for the bad things that happen in your life, she said. I knew what she meant by that, but I kept quiet because I was already sweating. I had to get out of there as soon as I could. I'd had 3 panic attacks in my life. I knew how bad they were, and I didn't want to have another one. I tried to pry the elevator doors open. I pulled as hard as I could, but it didn't work. Brittany started punching the door. She was shouting, anyone there? We're stuck in the elevator. Anyone there? We were probably stuck between 2 floors, so it was really difficult for someone to hear us. Brittany took out her phone. She knew that there was no signal in the elevator, but she still wanted to give it a shot. She tried calling someone, but of course it wasn't going through. We both knew that the second you step into an elevator in this building, you lose connection and the internet stops working. Brittany was standing right in front of the buttons. Can you move over? I asked. She did. Just as I thought, there was an emergency button with the alarm sign on it at the bottom. I pressed it for a very long time. We didn't hear anything, so the alarm must be ringing somewhere else. But where? When would the person who hears the alarm come, and how would they get us out of here? My chest started tightening. Now, on top of the sweating, I was also having trouble breathing. Brittany sat on the floor. She took out a pack of cookies from her bag and started eating. I remembered that I hadn't had breakfast. It would have been nice to have one, but I'd rather die than ask Brittany for a cookie. Anyway, she wouldn't give me any, even if I asked, since we're enemies. Actually, I was the first one to say, "You are my enemy." To which she replied, "In that case, you are my enemy too." Do you want to know what happened? I'm sure you'll side with me when I tell you about what made me say that. Brittany moved into our building with her family last summer. I saw her around, but we hadn't been introduced. When school started, I saw that we were in the same class. Eventually, we became friends. Since we lived in the same building, we would hang out after school, too. I shouldn't have trusted someone I had just met, but I ended up sharing a lot of personal stuff with her. I told her about the guy I had a crush on. I was totally in love with John, but I thought I had no chance with him because he was one of the most popular guys at school. When I told Brittany, she tried to encourage me. She said something like, "Don't belittle yourself. Let him know that you're interested." One day she said, "I'm going to try to talk to John. I think he likes you too. We'll find out if he does." So she started coming up with excuses to hang out with him. A few weeks later, she said, "I want to talk to you about something," and invited me over. Turns out she and John got really close. They were texting each other all night. She shamelessly said, "I am aware of your feelings, but I fell in love with John. There's nothing I can do about it." I was totally shocked. "Brittany, you're kidding, right?" I said. "I'm afraid not. Please understand me," she said. Obviously, there was no way I'd understand her. She had betrayed me. I knew that she actually liked someone else, so it made no sense for her to start dating John. We had a huge fight that day, and then kept fighting through text messages at night. The next morning at school, I called her over. "You betrayed me. You are my enemy now," I said. She said the same thing to me too. We stopped being friends right away. That is, until we got stuck in the elevator. In my whole life, I only ever had one enemy, and now I was stuck in an elevator with her for the past 4 hours. There was no sound coming from outside. We kept on pressing the emergency button, but nobody was coming. Either the button was broken or nobody was checking because it was a weekend. I was feeling dizzy from hunger and claustrophobia. I was moments away from having a panic attack. All of a sudden, the elevator fell a few floors down with a loud bang. We both screamed. The elevator shook for a while and then stopped. When things had calmed down, I noticed that Brittany was holding my arm in fear. She felt ashamed and pulled away. When I looked at her, I smiled, and she smiled back. I was no longer strong enough to stand. So I sat down. Brittany took out the pack of cookies again. She offered me some. "I wanted to offer you some earlier, but I was afraid to," she said. I took a couple of cookies, and Brittany sat next to me. I was really dizzy, so I ate the cookies really fast. "Did you know that I have claustrophobia? Don't be scared if I have a panic attack soon. I act really crazy when I have a panic attack, but I won't hurt anyone except myself," I said. I teared up and had to hold back from crying. She said, "You never told me about that. My mom has claustrophobia too. She can't even wear a turtleneck." She reached forward. "Close your eyes. That's how I always calm my mom down," she said, and held my hand. Then in a gentle voice, she said, "We're on a beautiful beach now. The sea is in front of us, and the sky is above us. Look around. What do you see?" Tears were rolling down my cheeks. I said, "The sea is in front of us, and the sky is above us." She continued, "We're sitting on the sand. Can you smell the sea?" I was really relaxed. "Yes," I said. "I can hear the waves too." Then we actually heard something. "Hey! Hey!" I opened my eyes. "This doesn't sound like a wave. I think someone's here to help," I said, and got up. "Help us! There are two of us here," I yelled. There was an immediate response. "Be patient, I'll get you out of there." I was already feeling better, thanks to Brittany. And now, with the hope of being saved, I was much better. I started laughing out loud. I looked at Brittany. She was sulking for some reason. "We're getting out. Cheer up," I yelled. She took a deep breath. "You know, Laura, John is a total control freak. He's so jealous. He suffocates me. I want to get rid of him, but I can't break up with him because that'll make you happy," she said. I wasn't expecting her to say something like that. I screamed with joy. "What? A control freak? I hate guys like that." "Me too. Now that I confessed this to you, I can dump John as soon as we get out of here," she said. The elevator made a loud noise and shook again. We screamed and hugged each other. But this time we weren't going down, we were going up. When we realized that, we started yelling happily. They slowly pulled the elevator up. It took around half an hour. We were now able to hear voices much more clearly. The door opened slightly. We saw two dirty hands reaching inside. Then finally the doors opened. There was an overweight guy with oil all over him. He was almost out of breath. "The guys called me right away when they got your emergency call, but I had to set up a safety wire to pull you up. That takes a long time to do." "I'm sorry you were stuck here for such a long time," he said. It really was a terrible experience, but we were finally out. I was so happy that I kissed the man. Brittany and I ran down the stairs. When we were outside, I stopped and looked at the sky. Life was beautiful. I turned to Brittany and saw that she was on the phone. "Are you calling John?" I asked. "No. John left me 35 voicemails when he couldn't reach me. I'm listening to them," she said, smiling. We grabbed some coffee and went to a park. Brittany called John and told him she wanted to break up. After she hung up, she looked me in the eyes and sincerely apologized to me. "I'm such a stupid teenager. Will you be able to forgive me?" she asked. Those 7 hours we spent together inside the elevator had formed a special new bond between us. As another stupid teenager, I forgave the only person who was my enemy. Thank you for listening to me. If you like stories based on true events, subscribe to this channel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bye. Hi, everyone. The protagonist of the story I'm about to tell you is a cook. He was trapped underwater for 62 hours. That's almost 3 days. He became the person who spent the longest time underwater, and thus part of naval history. But he didn't care about that at all. He grew to hate the sea, and being a sailor after what he had to live through, he wouldn't even dip his feet in the sea from then on. Harrison O'Keen worked on a tugboat. For those who are not familiar with it, a tugboat is a kind of towing boat. These boats have really powerful engines, and they push and pull other boats or non-motorized vessels with the help of a thick tow line. The hero of our story was a cook on a tugboat just like that. One night, Harrison and his colleagues went into the cabin to get some rest after a long workday. And they locked themselves in, as they always did. Why did they lock the door? Because they were in an oil field in the Atlantic Ocean. It was off the coast of Nigeria. Ships frequently got attacked by pirates there. That's why the crew always locked themselves in their cabins, for safety. Harrison went to sleep at the same time as the other crew members, but he had to wake up a little earlier to prepare breakfast. He got up from his bed as he did every morning. It was so hot inside that he was only wearing shorts. There was a small toilet and a bathroom inside the cabin. Harrison went into the toilet and shut the door. In oceanography, there's a type of wave called a monster wave, or killer wave. As the name suggests, these are dangerously large waves. They appear on the surface of the sea unexpectedly, even with no trace of a storm. This is a natural event that scares sailors the most. It was one of those waves that caused the tugboat Harrison and his friends were on to suddenly sink. The depth of the water there was 30 meters, or 100 feet. The tugboat sunk very quickly. It capsized after hitting the ocean floor. It all happened in a flash. Unfortunately, the 11 crew members that were in the bedroom with Harrison drowned instantly. Only one person survived, and that was the cook, who was in the tiny toilet. The toilet Harrison was in had a metal door. The door had kept the water outside. This lucky man survived the accident because he was awake and in a place where the water couldn't rush in. But he didn't know what was going on. He wasn't hearing any sounds. The commotion outside had stopped. Had the boat sunk? What had happened to his friends? Should he leave the toilet or wait inside? He thought about it for a while. He finally decided to get out of there. It wasn't easy to open that metal door. He tried pushing it, but it wouldn't budge. The pressure from the water prevented it from opening. He pushed again as hard as he could. The door moved just a little. Harrison kept pushing. When the door opened just enough for him to pass through, he quickly got out. Harrison was shocked by what he saw inside the cabin. All his friends had drowned. He was really sad, but there was nothing he could do. He was almost out of breath. He had to get out of the boat as quickly as possible. Harrison tried to swim towards the cabin door. The key was in the lock, but the current inside was stopping him from moving forward. He struggled for some time. If he couldn't get out, this cabin would be his grave. But he couldn't move. The current pushed him towards the bathroom on the other side, and the first miracle took place there. The bathroom wasn't completely filled with water. There was a small air pocket left. Harrison lifted his head up from the water as soon as he got there. He took a very deep breath. If he had stayed underwater a few more minutes, he would have shared the same fate as his friends. Meanwhile, a rescue ship had arrived at the scene of the accident. Divers marked the point where the tugboat had sunk. They dove right in. When they reached the boat, they realized it had capsized. The equipment the divers had with them allowed them to go down to a certain depth. They reached 30 meters, but they couldn't stay down there for a long time. After a short probe, they decided there were no survivors of the accident. Moreover, there were sharks in this area. After a while, they came up to the surface, having lost hope. Since they couldn't get inside the boat, Harrison didn't hear the divers arriving. He stayed in that bathroom for about a day. He was a religious person, so he prayed a lot. He was thinking that God would definitely save him. But there was an issue he had to deal with on his own. He'd been in the water for a long time. Because he was in so deep, the water was naturally cold, so the possibility of hypothermia was high. For those who are not familiar with it, let me briefly explain what hypothermia means. The average temperature for adults is around 97 to 98 degrees Fahrenheit. If this temperature falls below 95 degrees Fahrenheit, hypothermia occurs, and it's a life-threatening condition. If the person's body temperature doesn't go back to normal levels, first they feel mentally confused and then they lose consciousness. When the first symptoms started, Harrison knew that he couldn't stay there any longer. He had to get off that boat and, of course, out of the water too. The 29-year-old cook dove into the water again. The captain's quarter was next door. The bathroom had a door that opened into that room. He swam there. He made it to the room. He wasn't going to be able to hold his breath any longer. He went up towards the surface. It was there that the second miracle took place. There was a small air pocket in the captain's room as well. This allowed him to hold on to dear life for a second time. After these consecutive miracles, here comes the third miracle that saved Harrison's life. This time, our hero saw that there was a mattress next to him. It was floating close to the floor. He pulled it up. He got on top of it. That's how he managed to get out of the water. This saved him from the risk of hypothermia. Harrison had been under the water for nearly 2 days. He was very hungry because he hadn't eaten anything. More importantly, he hadn't drunk any water. Humans can go without eating for about 3 weeks, but we can only go at most 3 to 4 days without drinking water. You know that 60% of our body is made up of water. Drinking water is vital for us. But don't worry, the young cook got lucky about that too. After Harrison got on top of the mattress, he saw that there was a life jacket on the water surface as well. He took it and put it on. There were tiny flashlights on the life jacket. He switched them on. When the room lit up, he noticed something that he wasn't able to see before. There was a can of Coke floating right beside him. He was so happy to see it. He grabbed the can. He opened it and drank half. With that, he was able to quench his thirst. He didn't drink it all because he didn't know how much longer he was going to stay there. After that, every time he got thirsty, he took a few sips. It had been nearly 60 hours. The flashlights had died on him. He was listening to the sounds in the dark. But all he heard was either other bodies hitting things or the sounds of sharks feeding on them. Harrison was losing hope. He started praying again. He had no idea at the time, but the help he was seeking was only 100 feet away. The company that owned the tugboat had hired an expert team of divers to extract the bodies of the sailors. The men from the rescue ship had arrived at the scene and were ready. Soon, 6 divers dove in. They built a small elevator in the water. They were going to pull up the poor sailors in this elevator. The divers had a wireless video transmission system, so they could communicate with each other and the team above. Someone on the boat was following them from the screen. When the divers reached the boat, they got to work. After an hour-long struggle, they were able to enter the tugboat. They pulled the first 4 bodies they found up in the elevator. Meanwhile, Harrison started to hear something. These sounds were different from the others. He thought the rescue team might have arrived, but he wasn't sure. Just then he realized there was a shadow moving in the water. At first, he was scared that it was a shark, but it was a diver. He reached out and grabbed his arm. Scared, the diver pulled his arm back. He turned his camera in that direction to see who it was. When the person who was following the operation from the ship saw a person on the screen, he screamed, "He's alive! There's a survivor in there!" The diver quickly came up to the surface where he was. He saw a man inside that small air pocket. He was so happy to see him. The divers wanted to get the sole survivor out of the water as quickly as possible. But there was a major issue. Harrison could get the bends as he was being pulled up. What does that mean? When a person moves from a high-pressure environment to a low-pressure environment too quickly, a medical condition called decompression sickness or the bends occurs. This is a very dangerous condition. In order to prevent Harrison from getting the bends, they brought in special equipment from the rescue ship. They put a special helmet on him and pulled him up to the surface in the elevator. After 62 hours, Harrison saw sunlight for the first time. First, he shed tears of joy and then of sadness for the 11 friends he lost in the accident. The young cook's family lived in a small village in Nigeria. They took him to his village right away. His wife, who thought he had died, fainted when she saw her husband. This village was particularly known for its devoutness. After a while, the local priest visited Harrison. The priest said, "I'm going to ask you something. Please answer it honestly. 11 people passed away in this accident. You survived inside a boat submerged in the ocean for 3 days. The villagers are saying this is only possible with black magic. I trust you, but I still wanted to ask you if you indeed used magic." Harrison had heard about the rumors too. In fact, he hadn't been able to go to his friend's funeral. He was scared of the reaction of the other family since he was the only one to survive. He answered the priest's question calmly. "I'm a simple cook. I don't know anything about black magic. I just prayed the whole time I was underwater. I thought about my wife and my family. I wished for them to see me again. And God helped me." Harrison got a job working at a restaurant far away from the sea and went on to live a simple life as a cook.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.